Hello, everyone. Thank you for attending our webinar this afternoon. This is part four of our Expert on Call webinar series, and it'll center around profit first, how to make any business highly profitable by the very next deposit. Our panelists today are David Schnurman, CEO of Lawline and Further Ed, and Mike Michalowicz, entrepreneur and author of Profit First, The Pumpkin Plan, and what Business Week deemed the entrepreneur's cult classic, The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur. The style of today's webinar is going to be interactive. So please, if you haven't already, take a moment to find the Q&A function on your Zoom panel and use this feature to ask questions throughout the webinar. We'd like you to consider this to be a roundtable discussion where you feel encouraged to ask follow-up questions, introduce new questions, and allow David and Mike to address some solutions for you. Also, if you just feel like chatting or making comments as we go, feel free to throw those in the chat function as well. Those are separate. So David, would you like to take it away?
Thanks, Kathleen. So I would look at this as a cross between a live podcast that you can actually ask questions. Webinar is the term, but the reason we didn't want to do it as a strict webinar with one person talking, we want to engage people with conversation. Just to give you 3 minutes of background on myself, I started Lawline in law school in 2006. And over the 5 years since I started it, we became one of the largest providers of online continuing legal education in the country. Over 120,000 attorneys have taken courses with Lawline to date. About 5 years ago, we ventured into continuing professional education and we started Further Ed. And we've been doing that for the past 5 years. And one of the things, and by the way, this is our first, we've done 4 webinars to date. And the reason we do these webinars is we felt there was a need for learning beyond just a mandatory education. And we've done 3 so far, and they've all been in the legal sector. This is the first joint one with both Further Ed and Lawline. So accountants and attorneys are both on here. So it's, you know, we're powering professionals. And we're really excited to have Michael on today. And Kathleen mentioned his books. We have some street cred because Lawline was mentioned both in Toilet Paper Entrepreneur and his other book, Surge. So it gave us some credibility in the marketplace. And I just wanted to introduce Michael and just let you know, I've known Michael since 2008. He used to be a serial entrepreneur. Now he's a serial author. And what we're going to talk about today is one of his most popular books, Profit First. He works a lot with accountants, but a lot with entrepreneurs and attorneys, both helping them in their own business as well as with their clients. So Michael, if you could maybe just introduce yourself for a minute or two, and then we'll get right into this.
That sounds great. David, thank you for having me. Kathleen, thank you. And everyone out there, I decided to activate video because I don't like to use PowerPoints, but I do like to use a little notepad. So if we have to go into some Q&A, I can answer via notepad and draw out some formulas and some systems I think you can use. A little more background myself, Mike Michalowicz. I'm an author. I'm also an entrepreneur. I've had the good fortune of building and selling some businesses. One was actually in computer crime investigation, computer forensics, which interestingly, we worked a lot with a forensic accountants. So that's where I learned about the accounting space and got intimate with some of the demands in the accounting space and worked with countless law firms through litigation and other kind of services. So it would help me if you can, in the chat, just post the type of service that you provide. Are you an accountant? Are you a lawyer? Or maybe you're in another profession and joined in. So that would be a kind of a nice survey. Katya, I see you already. Evelyn, okay, lots of attorneys here. Good. Wonderful. And I have in my career today, as an author, around Profit First and in working with businesses, consulting businesses, have worked with many law firms in helping them achieve profitability. So definitely for all the counselors on the call, we can help you out. Good. So that's who I am. And David.
Yeah. So I'll start off. Yeah. So I just wanted to give for me, delivering value right away is really important. And then we can get to stories and other things like that. But what I want to do is provide a framework based on the conversation we had. So what we're going to talk about today is we're going to go over the old system that exists today for understanding profit and revenue. We're going to talk about the 4 to 5 steps to fix it and the new model. We're going to talk about how to implement that. We're going to talk about the sequence of how to do things. That's number 4. Number 5, we're going to talk about removing the temptation. And number six, we're going to go through the rhythm. So let's get right into it. And let's get into what is the old system that all the lawyers and many accountants work with, both with themselves and with their clients.
So I'm already going to use my first slide. Hopefully you can see that on the screen there. This formula, I suspect everyone on this call is familiar with. If you recognize this formula, please tell me. It's the formula for profit. In the technical terms, it's called GAAP accounting, generally accepted accounting principles. But here, if you don't have your visual activated, let me explain what it says. Up top, sales, the next part of the formula is minus expenses equals profit. If you recognize this formula, please tell me. Here's what that formula teaches us. If you want to grow a profitable business, you must have sales, obvious. You subtract the cost you incur, obvious, and what's left over is profit. And this formula has existed since the creation of modern accounting, which is probably started about 300, almost 400 years ago. The formula mathematically is accurate. Of course, sales minus expense equals profit, but behaviorally it's flawed. There was a study, David, conducted by the SBA, that's the Small Business Administration. They studied U.S.-based businesses. It went on to be a global study. For anyone here based in the U.S. watching today, there's 28 million small businesses, and the SBA defines a small business by a company that does $25 million in annual revenue or less. That's absolutely my business. I suspect for many people watching, that's your business. Of us, 83% are surviving check by check. That's the hidden fallacy in this formula. While this formula is mathematically accurate, most businesses are not profitable. And what I mean by check-by-check survival, maybe some of you can relate to this, is if I don't get a new case in, if I don't bring in some funds this week or this month, I'm not going to have enough money to cover payroll or rent or other expenses, let alone pay myself. It's this constant paddling to survive, 83% of us. And what I struggled with, David, for the longest time was, that's what I went through. My businesses, I had the good fortune of building and selling businesses. As I was building them, I wasn't profitable. I remember refinancing my house multiple times, borrowing money from friends just to survive. And I thought there was something wrong with me. But I realized for 83% of the world population, we as business leaders, business owners are smart enough to generate sales, to attract prospects, to deliver services, to have customers pay us for the work we do. Some, most of them, be very happy about the outcome. I mean, we do thousands of things. You manage your HR, you run the building, you fix it when you get issues fixed when there's a problem with the space. You navigate all the challenges that present themselves. And we get all that right. But how come we don't get profit right? How come the most of us don't get profit right? What's wrong with us? And that's when I discovered there's nothing wrong with us. There is a flaw to this system. When we are told something comes last, it means it's not a priority. Think about this. If you went to the hospital today, and I wish that upon no one, of course, but say you had to go to the hospital today for an emergency. The doctor examines you, and she looks at you and says, you got to change your diet. You got to stop smoking, no drinking. Your life is at risk. You must immediately fix this. When you come out of the hospital, you don't start saying, you know what? Starting today, I'm going to finally put my health last. Of course not. You say, starting today, finally, I'm going to put my health first. It is human nature, and this is the core lesson I want you to learn today. It's human nature. When something comes first, it is automatically prioritized and focused on. When something comes last, it means it's insignificant. It can wait and delay. It's the perpetual manana syndrome. And that's what this formula teaches us. If you look at this formula, we are told, here's what comes first. You must sell and you must incur expenses. Most businesses, 83% or more, focus on, I need to get more cases in. I need to grow faster. I need to support that with more staff. And we're supporting more sales or growing more to support more expenses. More expenses are used to incur more sales, and we're stuck at the top of the formula, and there's no profit left because profit comes last. It can wait. Some people, year end just happened a month ago. Some of us said, wasn't profitable again. Maybe next year. Profit gets put off perpetually. So what I want us to learn today is we can use a new formula. Don't take profit last, take profit first. And that little fundamental behavioral shift can have a prolific impact on your business. It can ensure profitability and change everything for you in a very positive way.
So you're flipping it and maybe draw it just to see. So yep. It'd be nice. And, you know, I've heard you say this for years and I've read your book and I've watched some of the videos. Great. So you're saying is, okay, decide you want, let's say 20% of your profits first, take that, put it in a separate bank account or however you suggest we do it. End of story.
Yeah.
Why can't you just say that to me and say, okay, thank you so much. I'm on my way.
Yeah. And then
is it more complicated than that?
Yeah. So this is, hope you like the slide presentation. This is the new slide I just created. It says sales minus profit equals expenses. So here's the old version. Let me just kind of put this paper up here. Sales minus expense equals profit. What I'm doing is putting profit first. Sales minus profit equals expenses. If you are familiar with basic math principles, that's called a variable swap. I just moved two variables. So mathematically, there's zero impact. It's literally the exact same formula because of how we swapped the variables. So mathematically, nothing changes. The key here, David, and to answer your question, is it's an extraordinary behavioral change. You see, now that we put profit first, it becomes the priority. It becomes the focus of our business, and we build our business around profitability. When you take your profit first, you must now automatically reverse engineer the remainder of your business to support that profit. Now, I can just say, hey, take your profit first or focus on profit, and that won't have an impact because there is no channeling of your behavior. Most businesses, and this is a fundamental lesson, most businesses, and I'm going to ask people to respond in the chat because I want you to be honest with me. Most businesses are run out of bank accounts, and I'm telling you that's a good thing. So here's the two questions I have for you. First of all, for everyone watching right now, do you have what's called a primary checking account? I do, and let me tell you what that means. That for your business, you have a primary checking account, a singular checking account where all of your deposits go in and you pay your bills out of it. It's where you manage cash. If you have, thanks Sabrina, already responded, yes. Praveen, yes. Dan, yes. Whoever's saying yes, it's awesome because that is the standard response. Kenneth, yes. Melissa, yes. Most businesses, now I've been studying this for 4 years since the inception of this book. I've had the privilege, the absolute privilege, I just returned from more international travel, of speaking around the globe. I can't tell you how many tens of thousands of entrepreneurs I've surveyed with this, and your responses, all the yeses I see, are the true response or the same response I see with almost everyone I meet. Most businesses have a primary checking account. But here's the second question I want to ask you. Now, I ask you to be truthful. Even if your accountant says, my accountant says, Mike, you know, don't look at your bank account. Instead, read your income statement, tie that to your balance sheet, know your cash flow statement, know your KPIs. Half these terms, I don't even know what they are. What I do is I log in my bank account and see what my bank balance is and have a real basic simple system. If I have money, I know I can spend it. And if I don't, you know, panic ensues. How many people watching, tell me in the chat, do you check your bank account balance at least monthly? If you check your bank accounts at least monthly, just say check monthly or whatever, or yes, that's fine. Connie, thank you for your integrity. She says daily. Melissa, all right, any other dailies, four times a week? Any hourlies? Anyone checking right now as we're doing this live? weeklies? Okay. If you check daily, if you check weekly, if you check more than daily, you are normal. You are called a human being. I want to tell you that behavior, I believe, is in fact our best behavior. Now, here's the key to the system that we're going to explain today. The goal here is not to change your behavior. Not to say, you know what, don't look at your bank accounts anymore. Let's only manage your business out of your, you know, QuickBooks or whatever your accounting system is. That is what traditional accounting teaches us. And I'm not saying it's wrong from a logical standpoint. It doesn't match the natural behavior. And just through those great responses you gave me, everyone's told me your natural behavior. You're looking at your bank account. Here's my phone. I actually did this morning. I logged in on my iPhone, checked out what my bank balances are. The goal here is to channel that. So we're going to set up a system that allows you to run your entire business out of your bank accounts and will allow you to take your profit first. So you're going to take your profit first. You're going to ensure profitability for your business by taking that percentage first. Then we're going to reverse engineer the rest of your business to run healthily off of what's left over. And we're going to have your bank accounts. So the lesson at this point I want you to learn is don't try to change who you are. For all human beings, I think myself in particular, impossible. I developed Profit First for myself because I did not know how to run my business financially. I thought I did, and I could not do it off my accounting, and I reverted to my bank balance. I had one bank account. I'd see how much money is in there, and I'd spend based upon that. We're going to make a few minor tweaks to your bank accounts, and you can continue that natural behavior and achieve the results you want.
Oh, that was a pause for a question. I was ready. I was bought into like, okay, let's do this.
You want me to go right into it?
So first of all, let me take a pause and like ask if anybody has a question to do in the Q&A right now before, just as a check-in, before we move on to exactly how to do this.
Yep.
And what the process is.
Yep.
And I think, and as I'm giving, I'll talk for a minute to give anybody a thought of a specific question they might have to put in the Q&A because it's really important.
Yep.
One of the things that you just said and you've mentioned before is it can't change from your daily routines. And I know you've shared a story in the past about the way you eat and fitness yes. gurus. I think that'd be a good analogy to share now, just kind of emotionally connect why this can't be too complicated or overly different. As we move into the next phase of this webinar.
Yeah, no, so thank you for suggesting that. There was a study conducted by a behavioral theorist called Northcote, was his first name, Parkinson. Northcote Parkinson, he's from the 1950s is when he wrote this study called the Parkinson's Law. By the way, nothing to do with Parkinson's disease, different expert. Parkinson's Law stated, and it may sound a little complex at first, but I'll make it simple. Stated that the amount of availability of a resource or the availability of resource dictates our consumption of it. The greater the availability of that resource, the more we consume, and the less of it, the less we consume. Here's the example with food. In about 300 years ago, 1718, right? So it's 300 years ago, the 1700s, the size of a dinner plate in the U.S. was about this size. If you can see on the screen, if you're just listening to audio, I'm drawing kind of the size of a plate or making it with my hands, equivalent to maybe a coffee saucer. That was considered a dining plate. That's what people ate entrees off of. Well, the behavior back in the 1700s was identical to it is today. Back then, George Washington and his buddies would fill up a plate of food. And as George Washington's mother and everyone's mother told him, you know, clean off your plate, George, that he and all of us would eat off what was on our plate. Today, plates have literally doubled in size. The normal serving plate is literally double the circumference of what it was 300 years ago. Yet our behavior hasn't changed. We fill up the plate. We eat everything that's on the plate. And as you know, it's all over the news constantly. As our servings have doubled in size, so has our caloric intake, so has our waistlines. The fascinating result is if you want to lose weight, the easiest way or the most effective way to do it is not to change your behavior. I'm not bad-mouthing P90X or any of those things, but those programs require extreme personal change. If you don't work out, you know, 4 hours a day or whatever it requires, start doing that. It's very hard. So most people actually fail. The easiest way that channels our behavior is actually to reduce the size of the plates at our house. Get smaller plates at your house, and now you continue the behavior. Fill up your plate like you do and clean off your plate. It's automatic enforced portion control. The interesting thing in Parkinson's study, though, also appreciated that the fact when there was less of a resource available, we become highly innovative. We use less and we get more value out of it by doing innovative things. One more example that I'll do real quickly is with toothpaste. If you have a brand new tube of toothpaste, you know, watch your behavior tonight when you brush your teeth. If you have a brand new tube, you put a long bead of toothpaste on there and you start brushing away. If some falls in the sink, when you turn your faucet on, it knocks the toothpaste in the sink. You know, the sink has bacteria and stuff. It's gross. Use your new tube and you put it on there. When that tube of toothpaste, perhaps tonight, is almost empty, we treat it. It's unbelievable. It's a shriveled up like prune, David, but we start twisting and turning the strength we can channel. It's unbelievable. We start using a very small amount and say, that's all I needed to brush my teeth. Some people, highly innovative, will cut off the back side of a tube of toothpaste to squeeze it out the other end. And if that toothpaste falls in the sink, you know, we scoop in after it, like bacteria, you know, that's good for my immune system. The whole story changes.
It's almost like if you have three sheets of toilet paper left.
Right.
Another book. Talk
about that. What this teaches us is that when a resource is scant, when a resource is in low supply, our behavior becomes an automatic adjustment. You don't think about, I'm going to use less toothpaste today. You just react accordingly. The identical experience with food, with toothpaste, is with money. And when we log into that one bank account, everyone told me you have one primary checking account. That's normal. When you told me you check in daily or multiple times a day, that's normal. What you're doing is seeing how much toothpaste is in your toothpaste tube. And you're responding to how much you see. The problem is when we have a lot of money there, we're like, oh, things are good. I can finally do this. I can pay those stack of bills and so forth. So we're going to make some modifications in just a second so that you don't have these kind of peaks and valleys. What we're going to do is immediately and intentionally constrain and reduce the amount of supply of cash to your business to give you not an empty tube of toothpaste, but one with a lot less toothpaste so that you start becoming more innovative and more frugal. And we're going to start allocating money toward where it needs to go, into your pocket. So
when I first hear you say that, is it gives me apprehension because you said 83% of businesses are living paycheck to paycheck. Is we all have fixed expenses. We all have set expenses that we do. So how does an attorney or an accountant, either for themselves or advising a client, how do you move that process forward and get started where you're just like, that would be, I assume, the normal objection you get is like, sorry, I'm tapped out. You want me to take X amount and put it into my profit account? Can't do it. And I can't do it for years.
Yeah. So a couple of things. First of all, is that acceptable to you? I mean, I think there's a first real heart check. Is it acceptable to be tapped out? And if it is, how long have you been accepting that? You know, most businesses, I don't know how established the businesses are on this call, but the average business has been established for 5 years when I do these webinars. So I suspect most people on here are, you know, 3-4 years into business. Some people maybe 7 or 8 or 10 years.
Connie's already volunteering.
Yeah, yeah. 7 years.
How many years have you been in business?
Yeah, tell us how many years you've been in business. The question is, as you reflect on it, how long, there's 12 years, how long, you don't have to answer this. This is more of a private question, but how long have you been tapped out? If you're tapped out after being in business for 9 or 16 or 12 years, you know, the numbers we're seeing on the screen here, how long have you been tapped out? Is that acceptable to you? And if it's not, then we have to draw the line in the sand. But there's also a realization that if something hasn't been working for 20 or 35 years, and I'm not saying it hasn't, but if it hasn't been working for that long, to believe that's going to start working by doing the same thing next year is definitely a fallacy. So
I like what Parveen said, because I think that's something most people feel, not tapped out, but not far enough along.
Yeah. Parveen, I love that response because that is the typical thing. I wish I was much further along. So the realization is what got us here won't get us there. So we need to make a change and we just have to get very real with ourselves.
Well, let's get into it.
All right. So I'll tell you how. First step. Step one is this. We're going to set multiple accounts. There's slide number 3. I have zoomed on the screen. I'm going to read it off. I believe every business, and you can maybe write this down, should have 5, minimally, what I call the 5 foundational bank accounts. These are going to act like different plates, if you will, for different responsibilities of your business. So let me explain what each one is. And I know my handwriting is not the best, so I'll read it off. First line says income. Income is simply going to be a serving tray of money for your business. As money comes into your business, it's going to sit in this bank account. We're never going to spend a penny from this. Just like, you know, think about Thanksgiving dinner. When we host at our house, we have friends and family over, about 20 people come over. My wife and I, we host it traditionally. I pull the turkey out and everyone takes pictures like, oh, I got to put this on Instagram. But I don't say, hey, everyone, just grab your knife and fork, dive into the turkey on that serving tray. Every man for themselves, everyone for themselves. No, I carve the turkey. We apportion it. Everyone gets a serving on their plate and then we eat together. The income account is going to be a serving tray for your business. Money's going to come in and sit there so we see what's available for the entirety of your business. These remaining 4 accounts are the primary functions for your business. First of all, we'd already talked about profit account. Yes, we're going to have an account where we allocate profit. What is profit? Profit is a reward for doing what you've done. For people who have been on this call 20, 16, 35 years ago, 7 years ago, you started a business You took on extraordinary risk and you sustained it. That's called being a risk taker or a shareholder. Just like if you invested in a public company, I own stock in Ford. It's not necessarily a stock tip, by the way, but I own stock in Ford. My intention is the value will go up so that I can appreciate the value, get a reward for it. Also, Ford sends, if you own Ford, they send out a quarterly profit distribution. Last quarter, I got my check. I own 100 shares. It was like $13, but I got my check. I didn't look at it and say, oh my gosh, Ford really deserves this. I'm going to give it to him as an expense and send it back to them. I said, no, I took a risk here. This is for me. I'm going to go, have a good time at Starbucks on my $13. The lesson is this. You have started a business and you own maybe 100% of the stock. You own a good portion of the stock. This is a reward for starting and building a business, doing something that's extraordinary. Next account is called owner's pay. The best employee at your business is inevitably the owners of the business. No one works as hard as you. No one is as compelling to your clientele as you. No one knows the business as effectively as you. No one has made the sacrifices you have. You probably have, instead of going on vacations, you probably do workcations where you're just working and pushing your business forward, always thinking about it. That's the definition of the world's greatest employee. And for many of us, I bet you've done it for very little pay at times, maybe no pay at times. You've definitely done it for a salary lower than you would pay an equivalent to hire someone just like you. You are the best employee. We need to pay you that way. So we're going to reserve money in your business to pay you. Taxes. We started our business for financial freedom. We're going to reserve money to pay your tax bill. So when tax time comes, if you own an LLC, it's quarterly, S Corp and stuff, you have to do them actually as you do payroll. Either way, the business ultimately is going to take care of that for you. We've started our business in part, hopefully because it's what we get joy from doing, it's our passion, but also for financial freedom. So that money reserved for taxes is going to go to pay your business owner's tax bill. And the last account is called operating expenses. This is to pay for the operations of your business. It's all percentages, but we're going to pre-allocate money from the serving tray income into these different accounts so we know what money is available for what intended purpose before we spend the money. All of this, by the way, David, is percentage-based, so we're going to figure out percentages. I am going to tell you where we get started because that was a question you asked earlier, but we want to target percentages and allocate these things out. One last thing is you may already be familiar with a system like this. This is also called the envelope system. So what I'm teaching you is something that I just invented. This is something that's been around in personal finance forever. There's actually books dedicated to this. The Richest Man in Babylon, Think and Grow Rich. There's many books dedicated in the personal finance space. Dave Ramsey's Total Money Makeover, dedicated to the envelope system. I'm just the guy who says, this applies more than just to our personal finances. This applies to our businesses. Our businesses and our lives are just like this. We need to implement this in our business. The action item is you set these accounts up at your bank. Money flows into income, and then based upon percentages, we're going to allocate money out to these different accounts and then use that money only for that pre-intended purpose. That's how this simple system works.
Just a quick question before you dive into how to actually set that up is, what is the size businesses, firms and accountants and potentially their clients that this is the ideal for? And, where do you probably... are you maxed out? Because when I think of our business, it doesn't necessarily apply to us at this stage, but what stage is it a revenue number? Is it a years in business? Is it total employees? Is it a type of business? Are lawyers more ripe for this than a business that employs 25 people and has systems and processes that is not about the law at all?
So So let me just qualify my response before I give you the response. We now have over 75,000 companies globally doing this. We have 2,000 documented, more than 2,000 now documented case studies of it. And what we found is, first of all, it's industry agnostic. That being said, some of the percentages change. So I can give you some suggested percentages, but these are just suggestions. Different industries have different percentages for these accounts. The second thing is we have a public company doing it, which I can't disclose their name, that we've actually coached through it. I suspect more sizable than many people in here. We have down to some brand new startups using it. So any size. The thing is, as your business grows in size, usually the financial sophistication changes. If you have a $10 million company, we have many companies running it that way, but this is rolled out in a more of a project-based or budgetary method. Smaller businesses are much more real-time, doing it directly with their bank accounts. So I'd argue it applies to almost any size business. And we got a, you know, a massive company doing this. This, the implementation is different. What I'm going to teach is doing this simply at your bank. Typically, this is ideally suited for companies that do $5 million in annual revenue or less, down to brand new startups doing $0 in revenue. We can do this purely in the bank. If you have a financial team, a controller, a CFO, if you have sophisticated budgets you write, if you have project leads, then Profit First has a more sophisticated implementation. We typically don't do this at the banks alone, yet we still set bank accounts. So yeah, hopefully that answers your question.
Great. And is it typically geared towards, like if companies are very profitable from the beginning, it's probably less of a need to set up something like this versus somebody who should have be profitable by now, but it's not.
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny. I said 83% of businesses aren't profitable. I feel that 83% of businesses can be served by this. Well, but what about the other 17%? You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So if you're achieving consistent profits, just to give you a sense of what we do here, with this system set up, the majority of companies, if they follow our system to the book, actually all of them, do a quarterly profit distribution. They're taking out quarterly profits, just like mega corporations do. Some of these companies are achieving substantial profits. They are usually doing 2 to 3 times the industry average in profit. Some of them far more than that. So if you're already doing numbers like that, don't change to something because you aren't broke. You're defining the industry. If you're not profitable, if you're not taking the income or the pay that you believe you should be taking, then that's where the system, I think, is potentially something you want to experiment with.
We have a great question from Scott.
Yes.
And this definitely applies to many attorneys who are in litigation. How does your system work for a business that has wide swings in cash flow, and we often devote existing resources to critical expenses to survive, such as, you know, I assume maybe Scott's in litigation or some area like that where you have to spend a lot of money for trials and things up front, and you have to wait a long time to see the rewards.
Oh, totally. So we have multiple law firms like that. We have a lot of contingency-based law firms. I actually just did an event down in Miami for law firms exclusively, and we tackled all these issues. Now, this is a more sophisticated profit first. So I haven't taught you the entire system, so we're going to kind of leap forward to some advanced stuff, but I hope you don't get confused with some of the basic stuff that we haven't addressed yet. So let me just tell you, these are the foundational 5 accounts. What I said is foundational. We can add more. The typical business, as you implement it, and I don't suggest starting this way, but you can have 8 or even 10 accounts. You basically have another account. And the account that we add in a contingency-based law firm, we call it drip. Maybe you prefer the word retainer or prepayment on other industries, but in law firms, we often call it drip. And this is what it is. That payment comes in. It's substantial. Maybe you land 2 major contingency cases a year, so you have a massive spike of income. And what happens is there's usually a massive spike of expenses. That's Parkinson's law kicking in. And then the income dwindles, and then we start panicking. What we do instead is we put the money, instead of putting in the income account, we put into the drip account. So say, just for easy numbers, say $100,000 comes in. We put that in the drip. That goes to us, but say we win 5 cases like that a year on average. So it's these kind of spikes, and maybe they come in at different periods. What you do is you put the money in here. So I put the $100,000 in here, and then I cut it into installments, say 12 installments, like once a month. So $100,000 goes in here. I divide that by 12. So roughly, I don't know, was that $8,000? We'll just say I take $8,000 every month and drip it into the income account. So now my business starts feeling like it's making $8,000 a month, which in actuality it is. Instead of getting this big spike, we're now evening it out across the year, and we can run our business accordingly. We start dripping the money from income. It gets divided up into these different accounts, operating expenses and tax and so forth. We now start taking a pay that's representative of our income. Our lifestyle doesn't just skyrocket up and then we say, oh my God, I can't afford this stuff. We actually start seeing what we can afford because it's dripping in. That's why we call it the drip account. So hopefully that helps.
Parveen, thank you. That was really helpful. And it was helpful for me as well. So I appreciate that. And even though we went a bit ahead, that definitely applies to many people on the phone.
Totally.
And I feel it's important when somebody has an objection or a thought process to voice it, because other people are, and it gets right to the heart of what we're talking about here.
Now we
have 25 minutes left, and obviously for me, any of these things, we're going to talk about resource. Like, this is not a webinar to upsell you to buy more things like, you know, other areas, but there are going to be opportunities if you want to dive deeper, because for me, I've never been able to take a book that fundamentally changed my business and do it on it myself without working with a coach or some sort of expert, but you can. So, but let's get into the basics of implementation, if that makes sense to you, Michael, right now, just so I can understand, okay, I get this. I read your books. I really want to dive in. I get some information. I'm pumped and revved to go with my law firm, my accounting firm. What, tell me, take me through the first month or so.
Yeah. So I'll take you through. Yeah. So exactly. So what I want you to do is step one is you set these accounts. Now at the end, maybe I can give you the action item because my fear is overwhelmed, but you set these accounts. Step two is we need to determine the percentages. Now I will just put percentages. I want to tell you what I'm about to show you. It's not my suggested percentages for you. My company did a study of about 1,000 businesses. And oh, so someone, Kenneth, is asking for the target percentages. We studied about 1,000 businesses, what we call the fiscally elite. This included law firms. This is what I'm going to show you is numbers for businesses that do between $1 million and say $5 million in revenue. So you may be smaller or bigger, and this is the fiscally elite. So I'm not saying this is right for you, but let me just give you a sense. And I'm going to get rid of the drip for now. Businesses that are doing, say, $2 million in revenue are allocating 10% of their money toward profit. So $2 million in annual revenue, that's $200,000 in profit. The owner, that's you, is getting paid $200,000 additionally, $300,000 of taxes, and the difference, which quick math, is $1.3 million for the operations of the business. Now, here's the deal. As I show these numbers, I know what the response is going to be. Like, holy crap, I'm not even close to that. I don't take home $200,000. I don't get a $200,000 bonus at the end of the year. I'm surviving check by check. And my fear is it becomes unrealistic, because I believe it is unrealistic to start there. That is simply what I call the TAPS, the target allocation percentage. But we also have this concept called CAPS, the current allocation percentages. And what we do in the implementation of this is once we get these accounts set up, is we look at historically, what have you done? Have you been profitable before? Maybe you've taken zero bonuses ever. That means your historical profit has been zero. Maybe your pay has only been 5% of your income on average. That's your starting point. Maybe your business has never paid your taxes. It came out of your pocket. That's a zero. Maybe your operating expenses have been 95%. So we figure out where you have been, where we're targeting ultimately to get to, and then we start with where you've been, and every quarter we start building and improving. That profit, we start with 1%, then 2%. We start increasing your owner's pay. And what happens is Parkinson's law starts kicking in. We start giving ourselves a little bit more money. It starts compressing how much money we run our business, and we have to reevaluate it. You know, is our office space, is it really, are clients really impressed by this? Does it really matter that we're spending this much money? Maybe we should renegotiate or ultimately move space. Is that software we're providing, is that necessary, you know, that we're buying, is it necessary, the number of licenses we have? Can we get a shared suite with maybe another law practice that could also benefit? We start becoming much more critical of our expenses.
I think there's a question that was just asked in chat that speaks to what you're talking about right now. If profits are falling because of a slowdown, when do you fire staffers to maintain profitability? In a small law firm, employees become somewhat like family. You know, any advice to handle that issue when you're trying to keep honest to the 1% profit or 2% profit in the accounts?
Yeah. So in any small business, I hope your employees are like family. That's how it here is at my company. First of all, if a business is struggling with profit, isn't that something that's appropriate to share with our employees and say, for us to sustain, you have to be profitable. By the way, if you're not profitable, it is just a matter of, there's only a certain point that you can borrow money from others. You know, not profitable means that you are spending more than you're making. Where's that money coming from? It's either from your pocket or you're borrowing from external parties. At a certain point, those resources become exhausted. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to sustain everyone with the potential of collapsing, which means you compromise everyone. If you got to close your business down, everyone loses their job. So first of all, we at my company are very candid about the importance of profitability. And if we're not profitable, I tell our team, hey guys, we are not profitable right now. We have a runway, but it's only a certain distance. We need to collect together as a team and figure things out here. How do we reduce our costs? More important, how do we increase margins? How do we engage clients at a higher level?
So transparency is one way you handle it.
Transparency is massive. The second thing is sometimes you have to make hard decisions. I've let go of people, and we were talking about me crying before when we were off air. I don't cry too often, but when I do, I do. And I had to let go of employees, not because of their mistakes, because of my mistakes. And I told them, I'm making the hardest decision of my life. I have to let you go because I can't afford to keep you. And if I do try to afford to keep you, everyone's going to lose their job. There's nothing you did wrong. There's something I did wrong. Now I have to make a decision that I'm going to, that I regret not addressing sooner. But I have to make a decision to let you go. And listen, it's not a fun experience, but it's necessary. Our businesses have to be sustainably profitable, and we have to be candid about it.
Thank you, mate. Just quick time check. We got 20 minutes left.
Yeah.
And I want to just make sure we can get to where you were with, okay, it's month one, you set up the bank accounts, and your first response was, okay, well, you don't have to start at 20% profit, start at 1%. And maybe it takes you years to get to 20%. So just take us back to that moment. And now what?
Yeah. So start off slow. And that's kind of my closing argument for anyone who's doing this. I suspect as we go through this, you may be skeptical it works for you. And I'm such an advocate for it. I've been doing this for myself for 10 years. I needed the system. So I developed it for myself. And I told you, we have 75,000 businesses doing it. And now hundreds of thousands of people have read the book. So it's probably more businesses doing it. But I don't expect that to convince you. All I'm challenging you is to try it out. But if you try to do the full throttle systems I'm teaching you, it's like if you've never run a marathon before and you decide you want to run a marathon, your first practice should not be running a marathon. Let's start off slow. So even if you just set one account today, that's my goal. Set up a profit account, leave everything else alone, allocate 1% of your money to a profit, and don't worry about anything else. The goal here is to convince yourself it works or convince yourself it doesn't work, but to give yourself a fair shot at changing your business and getting you to where you want to go.
How often are you taking the money out of the profit account?
Quarterly. So that's
if you keep it in there too long, you might end up using it for expenses because
Well, I'm going to teach you another technique so you don't. Yeah, if you use the money in the profit account for expenses, by the way, it was never a profit. You gave it the nice label of profit. Now you put it back in your business as an expense. It's an expense. And it's simply a shell game. Don't call it profit. It's an expense. Remember the purpose of profit. I shared it with a public company. They reward the shareholder. I went out to Starbucks with my money because I own a few shares of Ford. With my company, I've been doing it so long now, it sent me to Ireland. I just returned yesterday from Ireland on a 9-day vacation, staying in castles because my company's profit distribution, and it felt so good. The very first time I did it, I went out and bought myself a nice dinner. Myself and my wife went out for a nice dinner, and it was the best dinner of my life, not because the food was the best, but because my company, for the first time, had paid for everything. It was awesome. So we want to get in that reward mechanism. I actually started to fall back in love with my business. I didn't feel that my business was a soul-sucking, cash-eating monster of me. It was now serving me. But we got to remove that temptation of stealing our profit to pay expenses. This is the next step. Set up another account at another bank that doesn't have online banking, you can disable it, who doesn't have an ATM card, you don't have to get it, that doesn't give you starter checks. It's what's called a depository account. All you do is you transfer your money from your primary bank you work with, that profit, that percentage, allocate it to that bank and store it there. So it's out of sight and out of mind. Now, everyone told me your behavior. You log into your bank account, multiple times a day. I'm telling you that's beautiful because if the profit is peeled away and hidden at a second bank, when you log in, look at your primary bank, you'll see how much money you have to run your business. You won't even think about the profit. It's now piling up behind the scenes. Then every 90 days on a quarterly basis, we're going to take that profit out as a celebration, a reward to you. It doesn't go back in the business. Remember, the business is reverse engineering off the profit. Once you take this profit out, celebrate with it. And you define celebration. Maybe it's a vacation or a dinner or just some nice treat for yourself. Maybe it's paying off personal loans and debt. Maybe it's saving for your future. You define it, but it is for you, not the business. Then at that point too, we start increasing the percentage. Go from 1% profit to maybe 2 or 3. Start ratcheting it up. And over time, that's going to put pressure on your operating expenses and force you to look at your business in a new way. To reconsider costs, some costs you can cut, and the bigger opportunity is increasing margins. Are there add-on services you can do? Can you dictate a bigger premium? What else can you do to increase the money that's flowing into your business?
Great. So we have now 15 minutes left.
Yeah, and it's true. I have a hard stop. So I actually got to stop about 2 minutes prior to that.
And I always like to end early and surprise people with early endings. And so what I want to do at this point, I want to give, again, one more opportunity. If somebody had a question that they were thinking about, you know, we can answer it very quickly at this stage. So think about that as I ask Mike this next question. And the question I have for you is, I know you've built an entire model and business on top of your book, Profit First, generally working with accountants and other, I think, professionals. Can you explain a little bit about what that is and why you've done that and how that works? Because you mentioned, and I'll start with, you mentioned there's 75,000 businesses doing it. How many of them are doing it just from reading the book, and how many of them are doing that by working with experts to help them implement this?
Yeah. So the majority are doing it on their own. And I suggest that's where most people actually start. So the reason is I think you can experiment enough with it on your own that you can get momentum and see if it's a fit for you. Think about a gym membership. You know, the first step to getting physically fit is join the gym and get your butt there. The second step then is to hire a trainer if you're committed to it. So we have an organization called Profit First Professionals that spun out of it. When I released the manuscript, the pre-read of this book, I got a phone call literally within the first day or two of someone that had read the pre-release manuscript and said, "Hey, who's the accountant that supports this?" And I said, "Oh my gosh, I never even thought about that. Who's the trainer?" You know, a minority, but the people that are most committed to it, bring on someone who does this. Now, the beautiful thing is everyone needs an accountant. I assume every business in here has an accountant you work with, perhaps a bookkeeper. Those people are necessary for the services they provide. My company has trained now hundreds of those people. They're called Profit First Professionals. They become certified in it, that specifically implement Profit First in your accounting system, implement Profit First in the bookkeeping, enforce the system. It's like hiring a trainer. So the short of it is, I love for people to after this webinar, just set that account and try things out. Maybe you even explore the book itself. Then once you get going, a Profit First Professional trainer may help you get to the next level. I have one that works for my own business, and it's the ultimate accountability mechanism. It's like a trainer at a gym. Yeah, I may know the exercises I want to do. They make sure I do ones that are appropriate for my goals. I won't injure myself, and are the ones that are pushing me. I show up every day because I have a trainer. That's what our Profit First Professionals do. I think they're amazing folks. And just not trying to plug it, but if you're interested in, just type in Profit First Professionals. Actually, thanks, David.
There's a link.
Thanks, man. Just go there and click on find one, and we'll make an introduction to a Profit First Professional. And they can even answer some specific questions you have in implementing this in a law practice.
And I see there was one question as you were talking about what percentages do you recommend starting out with, you know, besides, is it 1% literally what you're suggesting to start off with?
I suggest look at your historical profit. So the last 3 years, how profit? This is not owner's pay. Whatever compensation you took on a regular basis, I'm saying what percent of bonuses did you take from your business? At year end, what was the big bonus check you took out? Or maybe you did it quarterly. If it was zero, that means you had 0% profit. Let's add 1% to it. But maybe you took out a bonus. Maybe you took out 2 or 3% of your in relation to your top line. Then let's add 1% to that. So if it was 3%, now make it 4%. We want to grow based upon your historical profit percentage and start adding 1%, 1%, and start building out. As we move along, we go faster and bigger.
So Liz asked, you have a profit account at 2 bank accounts? And Fortune asked, what if it's a new business?
So do you have profit account 2 banks? You do, which sounds kind of redundant. Why not transfer just from my income account at bank 1 all the way to that profit account at bank 2? Why have this interim step of transfer to profit account at bank 1 and then over to bank 2? The explanation is long, so I'm going to try to give you a very short one, but it may not be fulfilling enough, so a Profit First Professional can help you with that. The rule is, this is all behaviorally based. So there's a rule around temptation. Basically, when there's temptation, money available to us for a purpose, we try to use willpower. We know the money's not intended for expenses, it's for profit, but over time, we're like, oh, I needed this one time, and we steal from ourselves. That's why we need to move to the other bank account. But transfers from a primary bank to a secondary bank can take up to 5 days with holidays and so forth. So there's a delay, that money's tempting. If we allocate it to a profit account at your first bank now, while it's still at your primary bank and just as accessible, since it's in that envelope, you'll see it's profit, it actually reduces the temptation. It's a behavioral response, like, oh, I know it's profit, I really shouldn't do this. We can't play as mental games saying, oh, it's in the income account, I can use this one time. So it actually reduces that internal gameplay. That's the short, concise hopefully concise response, and hopefully that's adequate to answer it, but it's a behavioral-based system. Another thing I want to share with you is ProfitFirst is a cash management system. Some people go, oh, it's an accounting system. No, this sits on top of your accounting system. The beautiful thing is you don't need a new accounting system. You don't have to ditch your QuickBooks. This works with anything and everything you have. This is a bank-based accounting system, bank-based cash management system, so you can manage your cash appropriately, ensuring profitability.
And then to the question, if you're starting a new business?
Oh, if you're starting a new business, absolutely start immediately. Get good habits in place immediately.
In terms of the percentage.
Business takes $1 today. 1% of $1 is a penny. I know it's only a penny profit, but it's profit. So we start off with any size business. The sooner you start, the better.
How do you determine percentage for a new business?
I would encourage you to read the book in that case because I have, based on all different size businesses, the percentages to use. A new business actually can usually start with the healthiest percentages because you don't know better, which is ironic. But when you don't know better, you'll be shocked at how well you perform.
That was impressive, that pointing to your book, like, and you got exactly at the right spot. You must have
pointed, yeah, you must have done that enough times, right? I know the thumb's right there.
There's another question in the chat. It says, is it not better to move money every week or every month? Quarterly seems too long. Also, how do I deal with the issue of tax debt from the year past that also needs to be paid off?
Yeah. So actually this, you get into a, we call it the 1025 rhythm. Don't have time to explain that, but weekly or bi-weekly is actually usually best for the allocations. The quarterly reference I made is simply to profit distributions. So yes, do this on a weekly rhythm or bi-weekly rhythm. And then on a quarterly basis, that money's piled up in profit. That's when it comes out. So I wanted to answer that. If you have tax debt, realize that is an expense. That's an expense for your business. That means you incurred debt that you couldn't afford. You weren't profitable enough actually to pay your taxes. You now have the biggest creditor in the world, the IRS, who's saying, you owe us, and you got to pay that off. And they will start to penalize you and charge you interest. That is actually an operating expense. The other use of profit is to pay off debt. We want to become debt-free. And the only way, people say, well, Mike, I can't worry about profit until I've paid off my debt. You know, the only way to pay off debt is by being profitable. You must incur more income than expenses, aka profit. So when we start allocating our profit first using this system, if you have past debt, like that IRS debt, when that quarterly installment comes out for your profit distribution, that's the one time that we're not going to use it to celebrate. We're going to use it to eradicate debt. Actually, a small percentage still goes to you because we need a reward mechanism. I explained that in the book, but we need a reward mechanism. But the vast majority goes off to pay off that debt. We want to eradicate and crush all your debt first. Never incur new debt. We always want to be cash flow positive, increase profit, but we got to get rid of that debt fast.
Great. And I'm going to, in 2 minutes, just give some 2 cents about Lawline. And then what I would love at the end, you, I'll once again reiterate which the links are here. We're, you know, buy the book, obviously, and then how to get profit first professionals. And then at the last minute, just one last takeaway of value. Maybe it's the rhythm they can start or whatever that is, just to think about right now.
Yep.
And before I get to that, I just wanted to thank you, Mike, for taking the time to giving this webinar today. Mike did this as a favor to me since I've known him for so long. He generally gets paid, you know, obviously to be in person, but upwards of, you know, $10,000 to do this type of seminar. It's usually longer, it's more in depth, but he travels all around the world. And to do this today, he did it because we're friends and he wanted to give value to the lawyers and accountants on this. So as you can tell, there's a lot more behind this, but I just wanted to thank you as a friend and the value. Oh. We've also, by the way, been talking about this for 4 years. So
it's taking a while to do it.
We're going to be doing more stuff for both Further Ed and for Lawline with Michael, because I believe in what his messaging, and he has a new book coming out, which real excited about what it's about.
I just the proof.
Show us. Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Clockwork.
The proof. Literally, this is the proof. So this is not the one for, you can see it says proof up here, but yeah, this just came in this morning. So I got to go through it, but this is the new book.
Fantastic. So thank you very much. I just wanted to share with everybody. Some of you may already be Lawline customers. Some of you already may be Further Ed customers, but if you're not, just wanted to give you a sense, this type of content, lifelong learning is our purpose. Personal freedom for attorneys and accountants is what we do. Continuing education, our courses may not be as high level as this, but each course that we do is to give you value that you can take away to help you in your practice, to help you in your day-to-day, or to help you transition to a new area where you want. One of the things that we are so passionate about is group subscriptions. We work with 120,000 attorneys. Many of them, we work with entire firms because it just makes sense. You know, once you work with a firm, we have an app, we have an online course center, we have all these different things that we've built because I love building great products, especially for professionals. I'm an attorney, been an attorney since law school, and everything is designed to make this as seamless as possible. So it's not what you think when you think about continuing education. So that is my two cents just to share if you've never used us before. I will connect with anybody on LinkedIn. I have a rule, if you're a lawyer and accountant and you invite me to connect with you on LinkedIn, I will connect with you. So when Mike talks, I'll share with you my LinkedIn profile. And Mike, thank you again. Again, his link to Profit First Professionals and Mike Michalowicz. What value can you leave people off in the last minute? And then we'll throw it to Kathleen to wrap it up.
Yeah, so I'll just give you a couple things about myself. Profit First Professionals, thanks for sharing that. This is my link again. That's my personal link. If you want to get started, I do have free resources for you. So if you go to MikeMichalowicz.com, you can get Profit First. I think it's a chapter download for free. So, you know, try it before you buy it and just start reading and see if it resonates with you. All my other books. I used to write for the Wall Street Journal for many years too. So if you subscribe, you'll get all my Wall Street Journal articles. They are available. If you're a subscriber to the Wall Street Journal, just go into their archives. You can get them there, or you can get them for free through my site. The last thing I want to share is, first of all, thank you for the service you do. I realize attorneys get sometimes a tough rap because of the litigiousness of society today. But I also want you to know that the most valued members of my organization are my in-house counsel, Gail Cookson, my attorney, and also my accountant, Keith Behrens. Those two people are the infrastructure for growing a successful business. So thank you for the service that you do for businesses, for your clients, for society. I truly mean that. I also believe that you have a responsibility for being profitable. For the only way to continue to deliver the great services that are needed from you are by being profitable. My final thought is this, is if you aren't achieving the levels of profit that you desire, just be candid with yourself. Continue to do what you've done. Will that bring the results? And just look at your history. How long have you been in this pattern? If you've been in it for a sustained period of time, it's not getting the results you want, it's time to try something new. But I expect skepticism. Well, I've told you, I can't guarantee it'll work with you. I think it will. I'm almost convinced it will. But you need to prove it to yourself. So my challenge for you is something I stated on earlier on, but I want to repeat it. Is why don't you set that one account? You can do it within the next day or two. Set up one account and start allocating profit to it. And it can be at your current bank, just so you can see money drip into that profit account, just to start seeing if it works for you. And if it does, then I hope you decide to explore the book or watch this video again or do other things like that to start getting further and further into it. And I'd love to see in the next 6 months or a year from now the improvements it has made for your profitability.
Great, thanks. Kathleen?
Absolutely. Thank you, David. Thank you again, Mike, for participating today. I really appreciate it as well. And thank you for everyone who attended. If you'd like to leave a few comments about the value that you got out of today's webinar, feel free to write them down in the chat function. And I'll also provide my email address there in case you'd like to reach out to me directly to let me know what you thought. I'm also going to be sending out a recording and a written transcript of today's webinar. So keep an eye out for an email from me inviting you all to future webinars in our series, and keep an eye out for those materials. And enjoy the rest of your afternoon, everybody.
Thank you. Take care, everyone.